Good evening. Here, a reading of God's Word, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Father, we thank you for your word tonight, your inerrant, inspired word, and we ask the Spirit would come and breathe new life in us. Breathe new desire, Lord, to do your will, to be your people, to be faithful to your commands. And Lord, cause the meditations of our hearts and the words of my lips to be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here's the situation. Matthew is writing his last chapter, and here in the last chapter is the narrative of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in this narrative also lies the final interaction of Jesus with his disciples. The risen Lord told his disciples to meet him in Galilee on a mountain, and he would come to them. And so in verse 16, they're at the mountain that Jesus had told them to meet him. He came, and then when they saw him, verse 17, they worshiped him. The verb that Matthew uses here means they got down on their knees in worship. And in other places, there was worship that was inappropriate. Remember angels saying, "No, don't worship me, you're doing the wrong thing." But notice here, the risen Lord Jesus Christ accepts their worship. But some doubted. From the beginning, the disciples had difficulty in believing that Jesus had risen from the dead. And their doubt reminds us of Thomas, remember? He said, "Unless I see him with my own eyes, the risen Lord with my own eyes, and I put my fingers in the nail prints where they were, and I put my hands in his side, I will not believe." And then the risen Lord, remember, came to Thomas. Thomas saw him, and he said, "Thomas, here I am. Come and touch me." And Thomas didn't need to do that. He just said, "My Lord and my God." He believed. And now in verse 18 and following are the last words spoken by Christ in Matthew's gospel. And I'd like to pay attention to three things here. The great claim that Jesus makes about his authority. And two of his imperatives in this command for us to go, and what he said about obedience. See where we're going now? His claim, his command to us to go, and his command to us regarding obedience. Here's the great claim in verse 18. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This morning's sermon, we heard how Jesus was asked, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things, Jesus? Who gave you this authority?" Well, here's the perfect answer. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." In theology, we speak of the states of Christ, in his humiliation and in his exaltation. The states of his humiliation include his incarnation, leaving heaven, coming to earth, adding to himself a human body born in a manger, and next to sufferings that he underwent in this in his ministry here, in his life here, and then of course his death would be the third state of his humiliation, and then finally his burial. But of course now his states of being exalted begins with his resurrection, and that's where we are in this passage. The resurrection changes everything. The resurrection changed the early church. You read all of the sermons in the book of Acts, and almost every time they're referring to the resurrection, to its reality. His resurrection, and next, his ascension, which would come later. It doesn't happen in our passage. And his session at the right hand of the Father, and then, of course, his second coming. And so here, following the resurrection, Jesus is given all authority in heaven and on earth. Think with me for a moment about this authority of Jesus Christ, because this is my message to you tonight, for us to consider the authority that belongs to Jesus Christ, that he has over us, over our church, over everything. All authority, he says. Not just some, or not just a little bit of authority. Not just heaven, just authority in heaven, or authority over here, but he says all authority everywhere has been given to me. I remember R.C. talking, saying, I don't know if he got where he got this from, but he was saying that in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, there isn't even one maverick molecule in the universe. Everything belongs to him. A few years ago, I gave this example, and I think it's worth repeating at this point, thinking about the size of his authority. Think about the size of the universe. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. The nearest star is Alpha Centauri. How long would it take, traveling light speed, 186,000 miles per second, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every month, for how long? For 4 years. It's a long way. And even that doesn't measure the size of the authority of Jesus Christ. We are finite. It's hard for us to imagine how to measure the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brent reminded us this morning of the authority of Jesus Christ in his ministry here, in his public ministry. Remember, take out your papers and write this down. I'm going to test you. No, authority over our physical beings, authority over providence, authority to forgive sins, just to name a few. And let me add to that, it's authority over nature. You know, even the waves and the wind must obey him. His authority to give life. His authority over death. Remember Lazarus? Such is the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in his voice that even the dead must obey him. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. His authority to heal. Performing all those miracles of healing. His authority to judge the nations. And now, with just a little taste of his authority, look at the connection between the great claim of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it's connected to the Great Commission that he gives to us. And the bridge or the connector is this word, therefore. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. I've heard this many times before, I'm sure, but it's always worth repeating. We should always ask, what's the therefore, therefore? Well, because all authority in heaven and earth have been given to the Lord Jesus Christ, an authority that we can't even begin to measure because we're finite. Therefore, he says, go. Go. Go and make disciples of all of the nations. Because all authority is mine, he says. You know, the early church, this meant everything to them, knowing the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and obeying it. It helped them to obey it because they understood his authority. Here's the risen Lord. Here's the King of Kings who soon will ascend to his throne above and his reign and his session at the right hand of the Father. And now through us, and the authority that he gives us in the Great Commission, his redemptive rule is to be extended to all of the nations. Go and make disciples of all of the nations. Calvin writes, the apostles undertook the Great Commission only after their champion, Jesus Christ, sat on his heavenly throne with all authority. That gave them confidence. The Great Commission has four imperatives with it. You know them. Go, make disciples, baptize, and then teach them to obey me, Jesus Christ is saying. I just want to look at two of these, the first and the last of these. Go, and then finally the last one, which has to do with obedience. Go, he says, why? Well, we've just labored this because all of the authority belongs to him. And because he commands us. The one with all the authority is commanding us to do something for him. But not only that, because he has given you, Christian, authority. He has given you authority. He has given you some of his authority. In being his disciple, in doing his mission, in being sent by him. Go not only because all authority is his, not only because he commands us, not only because he has given you some of his authority, but also, he says, because I'm going to be with you always. There'll never be a time in your life, Christian, when I'm not going to be with you. That's his promise. So, what does that look like in your life? What going for Jesus Christ? What does that look like for you in your life? You know, for the early church, we read through the story of the book of Acts, that the Great Commission was sort of a set of concentric circles, remember? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. What's the first circle for you? What's the first circle for you? I would say, make it your family. Make it your children if you have children. Make it your parents who may not be Christians. Make it siblings in your family or cousins or whatever. Make it your family. And along with that, make praying for the lost an ongoing theme every day. Don't give up praying for the lost, praying for those in your family. Because among other things, it reminds you, when you're with them, of the great responsibility that you have. It reminds you of the Great Commission. It reminds you that you've been sent, that you have His authority, that He is with you always. Jesus says, "Go, as the Father has sent me into the world, so I send you." So one sense, we go, but we're also sent. And then, finally, this last part of the Great Commission. Remember, we said there's go, make disciples, baptize. Here's the final ingredient, or the final imperative. Teach them to obey me. Teach them to obey me. We're a people who submit to authority. And we submit to authority because we do it for the Lord's sake. And my question is this: how can we teach obedience to Jesus Christ unless we ourselves are obeying Him? Unless we ourselves are striving to obey Him. And even when we fail, we know what to do about it. Because we understand that all authority in this world, parents over children, employers over employees, government over citizens, dog catchers over dogs, all authority is delegated. It's been given by someone else. And whatever authority that we have has been handed down to us by Jesus Christ, because all authority has been given to Him. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. There we go. And parents, love your children by occupying a position of authority in their life. Perhaps you're one that grew up in a family that was really broken, and there really wasn't much of authority structure in it. And you can even say today how difficult that was, how easier it would have been if there was a parent, that a mom and dad, that occupied that place of authority. But obedience has its limits. What are they? Well, we're told in Romans 13 that all authority has been by God has been given, and that the government, the state, is a minister of God for our good. But this obedience to the state has its limits, doesn't it? In Acts 4 and 5, in each of those chapters, we read how the early church said, no, we are going to have to obey Jesus Christ. We're not going to obey your command to stop preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Obedience has its limits. And so we're here at the end. We just want to remind you, before we close here, remember this great claim: all authority in heaven and earth belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember also the fact that because of that, now He has commanded us to go. And He has commanded us also to be a people that obey authority and model that in our lives. Amen.